Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
How is everyone doing today? Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I'm tired as fuck. We had some of the worst storms that I have, just, you know, regular Florida summer storms today here in Volusia County. I went out and took some pictures of the damage. I'll post some of that. I did share it with Claire Metz. I sent the pics that I took of some of the storm damage because I do think a tornado touched down in Edgewater. Like, I consider myself a little bit of a weather geek or a weather junkie. And I, hold on, let me see how I sound. Pictures of the damage, I'll post some of that. I did share it with Claire Metz.
I
sent the pics that I took of some of the storm damage. How many, guys, is that how I usually sound? I thought my producer Vulture was going to, like, give me a Charlie Lima. Should I restart? Yeah, I'm restarting. It could be better. Be right back. So, yeah, I fucking hate StreamYard. I really, really do. Fucking hate it. Hate it more than anything. I really, really think StreamYard is a fraud. StreamYard is a fraud. It is. I think that it is. Here, well, I got to wait for it to, like, pop back up here. But because I think it could have been better. And by the way, we're not getting any cell phone signal here in Edgewater, Florida. I mean, it's 0.0 when it comes to cell phone signal here.
I think that it is here.
Yeah, it's definitely better. Like, see, I'm glad that I decided to kind of, because look, you guys, Twisted Movies, you know, I'm really starting to think that Elon Musk might just be a shyster. I'm being dead ass serious. This guy is not acting like a CEO of a company that's shooting stuff up into the atmosphere. You know how many people that have paid for Starlink? And I don't know who actually has Starlink right now. I don't know a single person that has Starlink. Okay. You know how many people I've talked to that say that, oh, yeah, I don't have it. I waited a goddamn year. And you don't think that a lot of the stuff that Starlink, Bubble House Everything said have what? Starlink, which is all the satellites that Elon is shooting up into the atmosphere. Seriously, though, you also know what type of just pollution it does for astrophotography. The space junk that we have in the atmosphere is ridiculous. And seriously, all it's going to take is one satellite getting hit, which Russia kind of caused a little bit of it. I mean, Fozzie's right. He is littering outer space with all this stuff. It's just, and then this whole stuff with Elon and Twitter. Like, he just seems like he is another rich billionaire that plays the system. You know, like, he's been accused of stock fraud and stuff like that, or not playing with the rules when it comes to the stock options and all that stuff. And then, like, he bought all that stock on Twitter. It went up. He probably sold it. And now he's not buying it? Come on, man. And then Elon, man, dude, get a tan. Like, seriously, you look like an uncooked chicken. Even Jeff Bezos, even though you might be richer than Jeff Bezos still looks better than you. And I'm sure, Jeff, that was bought and paid for. I don't know. Not bad for a dude with Asperger's. Cut him some Slizak. Okay, well, all right. I'm just saying, everybody used to call him the real-life Tony Stark. I don't know. This guy's a little weird, man. Yeah, I mean, Iggy T, thank you for agreeing with me. He has such a weird body shape. He really, really does. Fozzy, if you will, Elon Musk learned Bubba was banned and bailed out of the sale. Oh, yeah. I mean, maybe. Who knows? I'm looking through my news stories. Okay, Jake. I'm taking a couple of days from streaming. I will let you guys know the next time I stream. Love you guys, Jake. Jake, I mean, I gotta ask, because this just seems a little weird. Is this a cry for help, Jake? I just gotta ask. I'm taking a couple of days off from streaming. I will let you guys know the next time I stream. Love you guys. Almost seems like a note that you leave right before you try to do what I did. I mean, he emailed that to me as well. I mean, word for word, what Jake just sent in there in the chat room is the same exact thing he emailed me today. So that's the only reason I ask. You guys don't know that. Fozzy, the All-Star game, it just is, I don't know why the MLB All-Star game does not, like, resonate with its audience. Maybe it's because the players only played, like, one inning. Two innings at most. You know, they used to do that whole gimmick where the All-Star game, I just saw a big-ass possum. I got the window open there. Like I said, a lot of the animals and snakes are out right now, and there's a big fucking possum out there. Oh, he's gone now. Anyways, when they did that whole gimmick with if the National League wins, they get home field advantage in the World Series or the American League. I mean, they're not. Look, the worst All-Star game out of all the major sports is the Pro Bowl. They just need to put a bullet in the head of the All-Star game. Just kill it. Just put it out of its misery. But the baseball one is good. Like, you've had some great memories of All-Star moments. I mean, remember when Randy Johnson threw the ball about 10 feet over John Kruk's head? Because John Kruk was lefty. Randy Johnson was a lefty. You know what John Kruk did? He put his helmet on backwards and stood in the right-hand box. That was a great moment. I will watch the All-Star game tonight because, for one reason and one reason only, the starter of the American League All-Star team is McClanahan. This McClanahan, dude, he has some nasty-ass stuff. He can throw some breaking balls, off-speed, change-up. He's got some good velocity on it. I mean, Twisted Movies, you're right. I like Randy Johnson when he blew up. Oh, somebody's calling me here. Let me see who this is. Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Hey, what's up, Tuttle? It's Jake.
What's up, Jake? Are you okay, man?
Dude, I've been having one of the roughest days of my life. I've decided to...
What's wrong, man? What's wrong?
Talk
to me if you're okay with it. I'm not going to judge you, Jake. We are friends. Everybody supports you that's in the chat room.
Here's the thing.
What's wrong, Jake?
By the way, number one, I got some good news. A couple days ago, I called in to Tom and Dan.
Oh, were they cool to you?
Yeah, I'm getting a new Tom and Dan shirt.
Oh, that's cool. Tom and Dan are like, so you know what, Jake? I'm actually going to be on Tom and Dan tomorrow.
All right. You know, Sam's on vacation.
Oh, she is. What do you think of Sam, Jake?
I think she's a sweetheart. Sweetheart.
Okay, yeah, she's a sweetheart, but like I'm talking about, do you like the jugs? I mean, she's got some, you know, some good ones going on there, Jake.
I'm sorry, but I just wanted to tell you what happened.
What happened, Jake? What can I do for you? Can I help you
today? By the way, I blocked Lemmy and Granny.
So what happened?
They came on my show, confronted me about something I said yesterday. And thing is,
what
like,
did they say? Hold on. Before we move on, Jake.
They called me a liar.
But what did they say that you said?
They said that, you know, catastrophic. CTV.
Yeah, I really don't. Catastrophic was always, you know what? Catastrophic has been nothing but a dick and an asshole to me. So I really don't give a fuck about him.
When I was doing the show with you, he didn't want no part of it.
Yeah, well, fuck him. I really don't give a fuck. He acts like he's somebody.
I actually have stuff in my real life. And I don't need this shit.
No, you don't. But Jake, so what's going on in your real life?
Things that, dude, do you realize that I because of all the stuff's happened,
mm-hmm.
I started biting my arm again.
All right. So hold on. All right. I gotta ask. Okay. So, do you bite your arm, like, is it a nervous thing, or are you trying to self-harm? Like, because I used to self-harm.
Every time something makes me mad, I used to do that.
Like, I used to keep a real thick rubber band on my arm. I know it's real pussy-wise, but where I didn't, like, try to hurt myself more, that I would take that real thick rubber band, I would keep it on my forearm, and I would just pull it back and snap my arm. Just to kind of get me out of it. So what are we talking about? You know, biting your arm? Like, I mean, would you draw blood?
A little bit.
Yeah. And how would that make you feel? Would it help you when you would bite your arm?
Sometimes it doesn't. It really doesn't. It causes me to feel like that I have prickly stuff on my arm. But here's the thing, Tuttle, is the stress. The reason I'm taking a few days off is to calm myself down, because you know, sometimes you get burned out on this shit.
Hey, so wait. So can we back up a little bit, Jake, and just because I got some more questions and stuff, and if you don't want
to, I know you have another interview.
No, I got an interview coming up at 7:30. But Jake, you're my friend, okay?
Yeah.
So even if my other interview comes on, you can.
By the way, what's up, Vulture?
Yeah,
what's up, Vulture.
So what did Lemmy, you know, like, I'm friends with Lemmy, okay? So I don't want anybody to think I'm saying anything bad.
Lemmy was more that got us to got me and you our friendship.
Uh-huh. So I'm not saying anything bad, but like, what was she upset about?
I said something fucking stupid.
What did you say?
Basically, I lied and said that Catastrophic was going to come. Catastrophic said that he was going to come and whip my ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry I did that.
But
Lemmy watches this show, or Michaela's going to tell Lemmy to watch this show.
No. But wait. So hold on. I'm trying to understand. So is Lemmy friends with Catastrophic?
Yeah, Lemmy and Catastrophic are good friends, and Granny, he's a good friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I look, Jake, I don't want anybody to get mad. We did not plan this phone call. You called out of nowhere, right? Like
I called because you wanted to know something.
Why are you taking the break? Like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do during this time, Jake, to help yourself?
You know, relax, not have. And here's the thing: when we do these shows, we do these nonstop shows.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get breaks to recharge the batteries and do try not to think about streaming.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Jake, you're under a lot of pressure, Jake. You are. I mean, I, you know, like, you do have an audience and stuff, Jake, and I just,
yeah.
I, you know, like, you got a day in and day out. I even see, have you thought about taking the weekends off, Jake? Because, like, I see you even, like, streaming on the weekends and stuff.
Call me, Michaela, since I'm Twitch famous. You know, I deleted my Discord today. The server, not my account.
Uh-huh.
I took away my server because I don't need Discord. Discord is not
Bubba. Bubba lost everything. Said Granny's not mad.
Granny's streaming because the last time I spoke to Granny messages me is like, "Hey, start a stream."
Hey, Jake, how is Granny? I haven't talked to Granny in a while. I mean, he's been in the chat and stuff, but how is he doing?
Yeah, you know, he's been doing better. He got a vacation for 7 days last
mm-hmm. week. Yeah, I think I knew about that, but I mean that's okay. So let's move on. So, Jake, seriously, yeah. What else is hat? Because I
Vulture
feel
doing?
Vulture's doing well. Vulture's doing well. But I just feel like there's some other underlying things that are going on that maybe you're not talking about.
You know, and the thing is stuff in my real life, and I don't want that brought up. Because I actually have people that are calling the Google Voice, leaving me voicemails.
Uh-huh. Well, is it bad stuff? Is it bad stuff, Jake?
Yeah, it's bad stuff, like...
Like, what are they saying? You don't have to say anybody's name, but, like, what are they saying to you?
Basically, they're saying that I should have done acted like, you know, I'm a no viewer Andy. I'm a no viewer Andy. Andy's are like the YouTubers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I call you. I'm a no viewer person.
All right, Jake.
Guess what?
Jake, here, hold on. All right. For one, do you like doing the streaming? Be honest with me. Do you like doing the streaming?
I don't enjoy.
Well, no, Jake, I don't think you're enjoying it because you're paying attention to what people are saying. Like, seriously, Jake, here, let me give you a little bit of advice, okay? Do you realize that I've been on some of the biggest radio shows in Central Florida where, like, maybe
Bubba.
Potentially 250,000 people could have been listening to me at any time in the mornings. You do
Brent,
know that, right?
Brent's back on Bubba now.
I didn't know that. So what I'm trying to say though is that I do this podcast. I do this podcast because it is like my outlet, okay? I am the happiest I've ever been right now because I got a job that I love. I got a job that is paying my medical insurance, my vision, dental, everything. Yeah. And I'm making the most money that I've ever made in my life. And you know what else I get to do? I get to help my mom pay her goddamn bills. And I do the podcast because I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is that you can't worry about what people are saying. You can't worry about who's listening to you or not, Jake. This is all demand, throwaway content.
Yeah.
So fuck them, Jake. Stop. Stop listening and stop concerning yourself with what other people think. And I also think that people don't realize, you know, the challenges you face, though, Jake. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sorry. This, you know, and all this was, all this drama was all started because of Tampa Terry.
Well, I fuck Tampa Terry. And I swear to God, and I probably might get banned, and I'm not going to say his name again, but if that said person, he is the biggest, you know what? I know that I've been a troll in my life, but Terry, and I'm not even going to say the first name because I know I'm not allowed to talk shit about other streamers and stuff on a certain platform, Jake. But he loves to talk a lot of shit. He's a troll and stuff. And you know what? I would fuck him up. He would not talk to me the way that he likes to talk to me. You know how, you know, last time I talked about seeing a therapist and stuff. You know what Terry did? Terry said, oh, when you fake tried to kill yourself.
Whoa.
So, fuck Terry. Terry's a bitch.
You want to hear something funny? On YouTube, I reported Tampa Terry's YouTube account.
I mean, the guy is a hack.
He also harasses me. He harassed me.
Okay, well, then guess what? Tampa Terry, stop messing with Jake and come mess with me. Like, seriously, Terry.
Yeah.
So... All right, Jake.
I'm sorry to bother you.
No, Jake, you got my number, man. Text me. Text me anytime. And if you need, I'll call you.
I love the show. By the way, Brent Hadley actually was on Bubba's show the other day and was talking about the days before Sirius.
Yeah. Well, good for Brent. I'm happy for him.
Jake.
You need to breathe. Just breathe. Okay? No. You need to listen. I used to think this breathing techniques were all bullshit, but it has helped me. Just lay on your back. Okay, Jake? Breathe in. Breathe in for 4 seconds. Time it. Breathe in for 4 seconds. Hold it for 4 seconds. Breathe out for 4 seconds and just visualize your breathing. It does help. I know a lot of people are gonna think that I'm being bullshit, but just concentrating on your breathing and stuff helps you. Okay, Jake.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Tuttle, for taking my call. Have a good interview.
All right, man. I will talk to you later. If you'd like to call in, 407-270-3044. Let me get through Fozzie, if you will. Stop believing your own hype. You're not stars. Just marks. You know what, Fozzie? You're right. I am playing radio broadcaster. You're absolutely right, Fozzie. You are. Call me Kayla. TT is a whole other challenge. No, TT is a goddamn bitch. Seriously. And look, Bubba lost everything. I don't claim to be a tough guy. I didn't win a lot of fights in high school. I got bullied a lot, but guess what? I never backed down. Never backed down. My dad always told me, you got to stand up for yourself. And I think I could take it. And I don't know. Guns are looking pretty good right now, I think. Not as good as I would like, but... God, I'm kind of pale there, too. Let me see what else is everybody saying. Bubba lost everything. No way, Tuttle. Tuttle's a pretty big star, or was, or so, or whatever. LOL, he's bigger than probably 85% of the radio people. Look, like, I mean, seriously, guys. I mean, like I said, and I'm being completely honest. Fozzie 9-0 again. Fozzie's 9-0 against chicks on Bubba's show. I seriously, this show that I do is my outlet. This is what I like doing. And when I say, and somebody said in the chat, and I'm not gonna go, but somebody said your dad would be proud. I thought about that. My dad would be proud. And I don't understand, and I got to stop because I'm going to start crying. I don't know how people, elderly people, retired people, are surviving off of just nothing but Social Security. I do not know. Because I know that it's not a lot. And I'm not even going to, like, I'm not going to flex at all. So I'm not even going to say. But what I'm saying is that I'm making double of what I've ever made in radio right now. And I'm having fun. I'm having fun what I do. You know what? It's nice to have this close-knit thing of supporters that listen to my show. I know them. Of course, I would love to have more people and stuff. And that's the other thing. See, a lot of people only watch, and I can't see all the people that are actually listening because I don't get a true update on Twitch. I don't get a true update on Twitter or Facebook. But when I go back and look at the past videos I've done, it's like 80, 90 here. I'm over 20. I'm anywhere from 25,000 downloads to 35,000 downloads a week on all the platforms that I'm on. iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, 315live.com, TuneIn Radio. Amazon, all the platforms that I'm on. So it's growing. I've only been doing this for 2.5 years. I think the show that I posted yesterday was 669. That's pretty good for 2.5 years and doing that many shows. Yes, I'm pretty proud of that. I'm having a good time. Bubba lost everything. Maybe more. You were on Prime Bubba. He said he'd have you back some, but radio owner of some station don't like you or something. Yeah, I mean, I know exactly. I know exactly who doesn't like me. And I'm being honest, the name sounds familiar of who hates me over at the station or the company that owns the stations over in Orlando. The name sounds familiar. It does. It really, really does. And I cannot think for the life of me what I did personally to make this guy hate me as much as he does. And I'm not going to attack him or anything like that, but I'm not going to get on my knees and beg. I've been trying since I left Bubba's show at the end of 2019. I've been trying to get back on the show. I've been trying to prove that I'm a changed person, that I'm sober now. I take responsibility for what I do. You know how many burn bridges that I've made up? I mean, I burned a lot of bridges at iHeartRadio. Do I think that I'll ever work there again? No. But I wasn't doing it for my own benefit. I mean, Fozzie, you know what? You nailed it, you nailed it, kid. Because for the longest time, I was letting, because I love radio more than radio loved me. And I know that I was worth more than what I was, but Fozzie, you're right. Radio wouldn't pay you what you're making now. You outgrew radio, kid. It's still my passion. It is. Radio is still my passion. But it's nice to be actually hitting my banking money. Because it's about time that I'm responsible for myself. I got my guests. Hey, how are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing wonderful. I love your hair, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
sorry. My day has been really, really crazy. But Bronte, did I mispronounce the name? Is it Bronte? Bronte?
You had it right the first time. It's Bronte.
Bronte. Like, mm-hmm. Hemingway. Were your parents, I know the last name, they don't get the pick, but were they big fans of Ernest Hemingway at all? Yay? Nay? No?
Not at all. I actually have a funny story behind my name. My sister, who's actually maybe 10 to 12 years older than me, she named me because my mom couldn't come up with a name at the last minute. So I guess she was studying like the Bronte sisters at the time. And mm-hmm. She was like, hey, I have a name for my little sister, and my mom ran with it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Bronte, before we get into the interview and stuff, tell my audience, because when I bring a guest on, I could hype you up. I could be your hype man. I could tell you about everything you've done and everything. But I like to give my guests the platform, give them the stage to be able to talk about themselves a little bit. Tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how they can find you online and stuff. Fozzie's a big fan of the show. He writes, welcome. Well, you kind of spelled it wrong there, but we'll give it to you, Fozzie. So the floor is yours, Bronte.
Yes, so my name is Bronte Hemingway. I am born and raised in Brooklyn, New York.
I hope the sinkhole did not get you. Did the sinkhole in Brooklyn? Because that's everything was trending about the sinkhole in Brooklyn.
No, I'm actually a little bit, ways from it. So, I don't think it's going to come. It may happen because, we're all on top of the
subway system and stuff. Have you ever seen those old pictures of what the city looked like when they were building that whole underground? It's pretty crazy. Fish on J says, Bronte, she has a great smile.
Oh, thank you, Fish on J. Yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry. I won't interrupt anymore.
Yes, I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I've been working in TV and film industry since about 2013. And now I am the founder and owner of a next generation production company called Real Black Films.
So, all right, so producing. So you're producing films. So people hear directors, writers, screenplay people, and then you got producers. And so I don't even think they give an Oscar out to producers, do they? They don't?
Not that I've heard
they,
of. No.
They really should, though, because producers and production companies play a big part into stuff. So give me an idea. like if you were on a piece or a project, what would you be responsible for? Are you just like a fixer? Like whatever they need done, this is what we need. Well, explain to me what a producer is.
So a producer is actually the liaison from the production to the headquarters.
Okay, so I had it all wrong. So production, what does production do then?
So production is the cast and crew of the film. Well, it's the cast and crew of the, you know, TV shoot, film shoot, like a model shoot, a casting, you know, any type of media-based production shoot.
So TV, movie, it could be online streaming type stuff. Yeah. Could be any of those projects.
Even content creation, social media, music videos, fashion shoots. Yeah, you name it, commercials. Those are all considered as production.
All right. So I got to ask, I know that, you know, so what, hold on. So, Fozzie, I'm reading some of this stuff. Fozzie, Jordan Peele or Key and Peele has been directing some quality horror flicks recently. Are you excited about seeing Nope?
Yes. I actually was just talking to my boyfriend about it. We love the marketing around it. Like the, you know, the soundtracks and everything. We love the marketing around it.
I mean, he nailed it with the Us. Like, I got five on it, you know. I mean, that was great. But I wasn't the biggest fan of that movie. But Get Out was fantastic. Like, it was one of the most unique horror flicks that I've ever seen. And now it kind of seems like he's getting into that sci-fi slash horror mixture with this one.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely, TV and film culture as a whole, I feel like we need that type of diversity and, you know, when it comes to TV development, because if you've noticed since, I want to say maybe 2015, when the streaming services became popular, the airwaves has been filled with dramas or, I want to say just basically scripted drama series. There hasn't been much of action-based series or thriller, comedy. Comedy is a big one.
Barry. I just got done watching Bill Hader, Barry on HBO. If you have not watched that yet, I mean, that is a very, very funny show. It's got action in it, but it also talks about mental illness as well, too, at the same time. It was one of my favorite shows that I've watched this year. I know it's been out for a couple of years and everything, but I would have never thought like Bill Hader that would do the Stefan character on Saturday Night Live would be doing such a funny but dark drama like this show is.
Yes, I agree. And we need more people. Well, we need more creators like that. We need more creators to put themselves out there in a sense of not worried about being canceled for what they're, you know, what they say.
But it does happen, though.
It happens, but at this point, I feel like it's the millennials who are allowing it to happen. And if you really think about it, the millennials are the forefront of
the streaming.
What we view. Today.
What generation are you? What generation are you classified in?
I am a millennial. Okay, and that's why I'm in this position to make a change.
Well, I'm on the very edge of Gen X. You know, like so, you know, the Latchkey Kids. It was a complete generation and stuff.
What age group is the Gen X?
I was born in 79. The last year for you to be Gen X was 80, I think.
Okay, yeah, millennial, 90s. I'm only 29. I'm not ashamed to say my age. I'm only 29, and yeah.
Well,
still a baby, but
somebody wanted Fozzie, if you will. I'll put this up on the screen. What's Brandy's take on Tyler Perry?
You know what's funny? He was actually my biggest influencers when it came to launching Real Black Films, because he dropped a Netflix series or a movie back in January called Homecoming. Yeah. And It was actually pretty decent compared to what he's released in the past few years. It was actually pretty decent, pretty funny. He was, you know, crossing boundaries, which is appreciated in comedy. So, but as far as
some of the other stuff,
it's
kind of like Adam Sandler's deal with Netflix. It's not the best production or not the best content. You're just spitting out stuff, in my opinion.
I consider it as very soapy, like soap, like the African American black soap opera, you know, version of TV and film.
Did you like Lovecraft Country? Did you watch that at all?
I haven't.
I mean, back to Jordan Peele, like, I mean, he had something to do with that. Lovecraft Country. And Michael, that was one of the last things that Michael K. Williams worked on. You know, Michael K. Williams, the guy that had the scar, and I loved it. I mean, he was so brilliant in The Wire. The Wire was just some of the best written TV that I had ever seen.
Right, and when was the last time we had something as nostalgic as The Wire? And you know,
have you watched We Own the City? It's on. I love how that writer and producer can just capture the city of Baltimore. Like it's almost like everything he writes is like not a love story, because there's some really dark things that they talk about that went on there.
Yep, I agree. It's like a give and take almost when it comes to TV and film production these days. You either have a great writer or a horrible cast, or a great cast and a horrible, you know, writer or director or something like that. So I think we have to find a happy medium as a people, as creators, because a lot of us are hiding behind our phones and our laptops. We're afraid to...
we're not getting experiences.
I understand, but I think a lot of us stop applying ourselves to the larger productions, the larger casting calls, or like, you know, we stop putting ourselves out there in a way where
what, you know, working like on smaller. Do you think the smaller production pieces, independent writers, people that are trying to do stuff on their own, because you saw this trend when it came to music. Everybody started producing their own music and everything. They started creating their own labels and everything, so they controlled everything. Do you think that's where movies and television are going?
Yeah, everyone thinks they can do it on their own. And I think people are forgetting that it still takes a team. It still takes a company, in a sense, to really, you know, like provide the proper tools, the fundamentals, and the knowledge it takes to make great content, because there is a formula. There is a formula as far as the writing process, as far as the casting process, as far as the, even when it comes to directing, the videographers, there's a entire formula that must be abided. But a lot of people think that they, you know, have what it takes just by, you know, speaking and pressing record, and that's it. But it's way more to that, and I think that's the issue. No one is collaborating anymore. Everyone is more independent.
Are people afraid to do new things, though? Are they trying to just stay in the formula? Nobody's trying to do stuff that's groundbreaking. Sorry.
I would agree with that. I'm actually one of them. I'm so used to being behind the scenes. I'm so used to hiding my voice, or, you know, putting myself in a box. But I think me being a business owner, the founder of a production company, I think this is challenging me in ways that I would not have saw coming 10 miles away because I'm an overthinker. My surroundings, my upbringings, it made me who I am. And it's quite hard to shake it because I'm kind of still here. So, and then my family, that's one of my biggest influencers. And, you know, I do my best at setting boundaries, but they're still my family at the end of the day. They have a great impact that I'm learning to, not need them as much as I would normally, you know, rely on them.
I got a question, you know, because when I do these interviews and stuff, like when I'm in a conversation, I like my interviews to be like living, breathing things, you know, like I'll think of questions and everything. So what is your opinion on people that say Quentin Tarantino is maybe racist or whatever with some of the words and stuff that he uses in his scripts? Because, I mean, even Samuel Jackson has come out and was like, look, he's not. I mean, he made me the lead. He made me the protagonist. He made me the hero in a couple of his movies and stuff. I don't know. Like, what do you think about that? Like, writing is writing because you got to keep it real for the time that the movie was in and stuff. But, I mean, I wanted to, it was just a question I thought of. How do you feel about that when people say that about Quentin Tarantino?
See, one thing that me personally and Raw Black Films is big on is being responsible for what you create and what you produce.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as...
Well, listen, no. Hey, you're not going to offend me by anything you say. I want your real, honest opinion. So you don't have to dance around anything. We're still going to do this interview, so you don't have to worry about offending me or anything. I want you to be as honest as possible, and I'm sorry if I put you on the spot or anything.
No, you're fine. I really think, you know, we just have to be responsible in what we produce. I can't judge him for what he's creating. It's, you know, all creativity comes from somewhere. And I think that's the biggest problem right now is that that cancel culture is a thing. And I don't think it's fair I just don't think it's fair that, you know, people with his caliber compared to people who, like comedians, stand-up comedians who are just starting out, they are quicker, you know, they are more likely to be canceled versus someone who had, you know.
Something that was written and that was a script and stuff like that. No, I mean, I get it. I get it. It sucks.
I just think that we just have to be responsible. Like, I understand, you know, as a Black woman, I should stand up for the Black community. But at this point, we just have to be responsible. And he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he just has to, you know...
Look at the big names, though. You got Jamie Foxx, Sam Jackson. You see what I'm saying? That if they didn't agree with it, they got a big enough name that they could be like, you know what, I'm not doing this. Or you see what I'm saying? It's not like it was a job that they had to take. You know, like, oh, I got to work with this racist-ass director or writer and stuff. No, they had a big enough name. They could have just been like, you know what, I don't need it.
Right, but you don't see them complaining about any of the content he produced. They just choose not to work with them.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the biggest thing. It's just how you deal with a situation.
Mm.
It's really not about because everyone has a perspective. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has a different type of way they express their creativity. And we can't knock him for, you know, expressing it in the way he knows how, unless once reality hits him and, like, you know, unless he goes through like some type of, like, you know, reality check, or if he does, if he needs a reality check, then fine. If it's not, then fine. But at the same time,
it'll control it.
Create. That's all.
Just yeah. So I got to ask you, what biggest project you've worked on?
To date, the biggest as far as prime time reality,
and just what is the thing you're the proudest of? Okay, not what is the thing you're the proudest of working on?
Gotcha. So my biggest, my proudest moment was working with Spike Lee on She's Gotta Have It Too.
Are you? Wow. You know, one of my favorite films Do the Right Thing is always a classic, but The 25th Hour, I absolutely love The 25th Hour. I don't know. Did you ever watch that one of Spike Lee's?
Nope. I'll write it down. This is the crazy thing. I've been in the TV and film industry since 2013, and my TV is always off. Like, that's the biggest issue.
Well, you know what? If I wouldn't want to be influenced, though, by watching other stuff. You know, a lot of comedians say they don't, like, watch other comedians stand up because they don't want to be influenced. All right, so it's got Ed Norton in it that stars. He has 24 hours. He's got a day before he has to report to prison. So he goes out, has one last night with his buddies. His girlfriend is Rosaria Dawson. You know, it's a great flick. Also, Philip Seymour Hoffman, who is, you know, an amazing actor, is in that. So, and this, I think it came out right after 9/11, too. They got this really, really great shot where Ed Norton goes to Philip Seymour Hoffman's apartment, and it overlooks Ground Zero. And it just, it really, really was like one of those things that kind of hit you a little hard.
I would check it out tonight.
So you're in Brooklyn. Any thoughts on Desus and Mero splitting up over there? You know, Desus and Mero. Everybody on Twitter, that's trending. You probably don't even watch the show, do you? No.
Maybe I watched it the first season, and since then I left it alone.
Yeah, everybody's talking about that. You know, kind of like comedy duos or people you work with all the time. They're always going to have, you know, differences and opinions and stuff. Have you ever had to put out any fires, you know, working as a production company? Have you had any divas or anything? I mean, if you don't, you don't have to say any names if you don't want to, but like, maybe if you want to, you know, wink, wink, give me some hints and stuff. Have you had to deal with any, like, complete, I'll say it, assholes working in the business?
Of course. I think when you're working around, it's like I consider production as a hurry up and wait industry. So when you're constantly on the go, but there's, you know, a lot of pauses, I think there's going to be, and in 12 to anywhere from 12 to 22 hour days. So I think the tension runs high. I don't know.
Do you have more or do you have more issues with the men or the women?
The women, definitely.
Yeah.
The women. And to be quite honest, it was as a black woman, it was mostly the black women in the TV film industry, because I think I felt a little competition. Yeah. Like, unwarranted competition. Like, I didn't even know I was in a competition half the time until looking back. And then I realized, like, so for the women that I did work for, I'm a hard worker. I like to learn as much as I can, and I like to
Best foot forward. I don't mean to interrupt you. So Rich Corral says, stop saying and stuff, Tuds. So as if you were producing, you were doing production on my show and stuff, and you get a guy like Rich Kroll that's one to bust my balls and stuff. I got about 5 hours sleep last night, man. I've been working all day, so I'm sorry if I'm using some crutch words because my brain's a little slow right now. So what would you like? How would you?
That's the first crazy
yeah, but,
thing.
No, but like, so if I was saying, stop saying and stuff all the time. Like, if you had to come to me and you were, you know, part of the production team and you had to come talk to me, but you didn't want to piss me off and stuff, or you know, I didn't want to be a diva, what would you say? Like, would you say, you know, here, you know what? I'm trying to answer for you now.
I'll be like, hey, is everything okay? So I noticed, it depends on if they're reciting lines. So if they're reciting lines, I would pretty much just step in and be like, hey, is everything okay? Mm. So were you able to study? You know, I want to make sure that they study the script. No. And then if that happens, then we'll probably...
I just wish that you would come in and say, Tuttle, you've been working on radio for 20 years. What is wrong with you? You need to stop using this crutch word. It makes you look like an amateur.
You never know. You may be a product of your environment, and you may have to work on a couple things in your environment. You may have to stop watching a show. You never know what the root of the issue could be. So I wouldn't just jump to like you being at fault.
No, but just to let you know,
that's the problem.
Radio and podcasting, they got, I love everybody that listens to my show. You know what? Rich Kral, love you. I appreciate you listening, downloading my shows and stuff, but just people like to be dicks. They just like to be dicks. That's it.
There's nothing wrong with it. It keeps you on your toes. So
all right.
It's good. And it's good camaraderie, you know?
So I got to ask, as a woman, working in entertainment and stuff, something that has been in the headlines and everything with the Me Too movement and stuff. Have you ever yourself experienced any of that stuff? I know you're married, right? So, I mean, like, have you experienced that, or you ever witnessed stuff like that in the entertainment business?
Yeah, I'm actually not married. I'm in a relationship.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I thought it was more. So you're in a relationship. See, I didn't mean to put you on the spot or whatever. I do apologize. My bad.
You're fine. So I think I've experienced a little bit of Me Too when it came to at the beginning of my career of working on set. I think I was just trying so hard to fit in into an industry that I knew nothing about. And I was like, I want to say, okay, I'm about to be very transparent. So there's this one thing that I've noticed because I am a Black woman, but I'm a lighter skinned woman. And then, you know, compared to the darker skinned woman, I noticed the difference of how we were being treated. So, and
better or worse?
It was not, it was better in a sense, but worse in a, you know, another respect, because basically I was trying to fit in. I was trying to, you know, speak proper. I was trying to, I was a yes woman.
Okay.
Put it that way. I was a yes woman.
But you were new to the business and stuff. I mean, that's what anybody does. You try to be on your P's and Q's.
Right. And that was the absolute wrong thing to do, because that set me back maybe 3 years.
Really?
And I kind of had to restart my career in 2017.
That's crazy.
As a new and improved me. So
that's I mean, that I'm really confused by that, though, because I know for a fact I was over the top. And when I first got into radio and stuff, like, it was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I did everything, you know, I took pride in how I looked. You see what I'm saying? Even though I probably did not, before I started working in it, I probably would just wear shorts and a t-shirt or whatever. You see what I'm saying? And that sucks. That would be bad for you.
You know, the biggest thing that I noticed that I wasn't doing was being myself. And then everyone else who was African American or Black, they were being themselves. And I was trying to be like, you know, polished.
I got you.
So once that clicked, I basically took a couple steps back from production. I started my own like side hustle. Like it wasn't a real business. It was just like a side hustle. That
Whoa, no. Any side hustle that's bringing in money, like this podcast brings me in about $500 a month. So, I mean, it doesn't compare to my first job and stuff, but it's money. It's career.
Right. And you love it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you love waking up to, you know, come to work every day.
Yeah, I love it. So it's not what was the side hustle? What were you doing?
That was nothing crazy. It was just social media management.
That's amazing. Cause I mean, you could get any of these suckers that are on social media to pay. I'm not saying that you were bad, but like anybody who's like, I just want more followers. They only care about their image and stuff. If somebody can help me out and whatever it may be, if it's a business or a personal account, they'll do that. Let me ask you though, like, did you get any blowback from other African American people in the business? Because you were acting one way? No, none at all.
I just realized that I had to change how I was presenting myself. And basically, I just realized I had to be myself. I was just not being, I like to call it unapologetic. I was just not being unapologetically me.
Yeah.
And then I noticed like the darker skinned women. And it's crazy that I had to like use that term because like, I'm still a black woman, but I noticed that the darker skinned women or men, they were unapologetically them and they were advancing faster in their career versus me. I was like coasting. So once I.
How did it change for you? Was it like instantly? Like, did you start seeing things happening for you more?
Yeah, almost instantly. Once I took taking a couple steps back to do the social media thing, that really helped me figure out who I am, who I was. And what my voice, is, and what my purpose is. So, I was able to really thrive, by doing that. I actually had a client who I was able to get 10K followers in 3 months. So, good. I was really doing my thing. People were giving me my props. Like, I was really, you know, crushing the scene. So, I came back into production because the money was good and I missed the money and yeah. I was ready to, at that point, I was ready to move out of my parents' house and ready to, you know, get my first apartment. So I went back to production and just like that, everything changed. And the first job that I had after restarting my career was on the Spike Lee show. And that person who hired me then took me on to work with Wu-Tang and took me on.
Oh,
to work
no kidding. That's pretty cool.
So he basically held me close, one, because I think we were living in the same neighborhood at that time. So he realized like, hey, I got to ride home or, you know, I don't know if that was the case, but because I was the driver as well. So he was like, hey, I might have a ride home, whatever. But I was a hard worker. So I know that's another reason why he held me close. And then, my career just took off from there. And I met so many great people, so many great connections. There's one person in my phone to this day that I'm very proud of myself that I was able to receive that connection. And it was based off of me being myself. And I think that's what it just takes to be yourself.
That's awesome. I mean, you kind of seem like you've had the same type of journey that I've had working in radio broadcasting, because when I came in, I was a little bit more clean cut. And then, people don't want normal in entertainment business. They want people that stand out, but that are also still responsible and everything. But before I let you go, tell my audience how they can check you out, website, social media, all of that stuff. The floor is yours.
Yes. So if there's anyone seeking if there's anyone seeking to join a weekly event with the Real Black Films team and the Urban Writers Room teams, we have weekly events every Sunday at 3 p.m. We have a writer's event to teach you the fundamentals of storytelling. We have comedy classes. We have, what else we have? We have artist development classes. We have so many classes to provide you with tools and fundamentals to enhance your career. You guys can find us at Real Black Films Tuttle.com or
I'm paying attention. I was just following you on Instagram right now, so
yeah, my Instagram is cool, Bronte, at Told by Bronte, but I'm not active, so feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's Bronte Hemingway as well.
All right, hey, I really enjoyed this interview. Hopefully you did as well too.
Yes,
if there's anything you ever need, feel free to hit me up and stuff. I followed you on Instagram and everything. If you want to email me, I'll send all my contact back and stuff. It's just Tuttle, Tuddle, @gmail.com.
Alrighty. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Tuttle Daily, for having me as well.
All right. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
Good. Tuesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Good luck. Stay away from that sinkhole up in Brooklyn there. You know.
You got it.
All right. Have a great night and be safe, okay?
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Fozzie, you got to be cool. I mean, I'm not telling you what you can or can't say. Don't give me a hard time. Your comments are up there and everything, but I'm just, there's some things I can't read. I'm sorry. So, anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I got a lot of things I still got to do, and I want to get some sleep. Hope you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.